Meanwhile, back in Washington, it's crunch time. The current Congress has just a few weeks left in office before Democrats take control of the House. So lawmakers are scrambling to tie up loose ends, like the 2018 Farm Bill. Buried in that massive piece of legislation, a plan to strengthen how the government intercepts foreign pests. This is about insects from other parts of the world and how they end up here, causing billions of dollars in damage each year. The World's Jason Margolis begins our story in Millbrook, New York, a village 2 hours north of New York City.
From a distance, the hemlock trees by a creek look just fine to me. But forest ecologist Gary Lovett knows better.
You can see on the underside of these twigs, there are white, fluffy balls.
That fluff is the protective coatings for the hemlock woolly adelgid, a tiny insect from East Asia.
And, of course, one of them, they're very tiny, so one of them won't bother the tree, but when we have millions and millions of them on a tree, it eventually kills the tree.
The hemlock woolly adelgid is slowly killing trees from Maine to Georgia. It's among the latest in a line of foreign pests hitchhiking to the United States.
Okay, this is a wooden pallet that's used to ship things around the world.
This basic technology, the wooden pallet that can be scooped up with a forklift, revolutionized international shipping back in World War II. Problem is, pests can burrow into the wood. Pests can also hide on foreign plants. So Congress added an amendment in this year's Farm Bill to try and prevent this.
I would categorize this as a small step forward, but it's the first step forward. So
Lovett, who is with the Cary Institute of Ecosystem Studies and offered guidance for the amendment, offered tepid praise for it because it got watered down. There's nothing in it about wooden pallets now. It's a $12 billion American business, and the industry didn't want more regulation. The National Wooden Pallet and Container Association President Brent McClendon says international rules were already established a dozen years ago. Shipping pallets are now either treated with heat or fumigated.
Well, I believe in the system. I know that it is effective, and I know that the compliance rates are really high, and I know that our governments, all of our governments, both here in the U.S. and abroad, work very hard to have comprehensive inspections at the perimeter and really protect against invasive species.
Still, each year, some 13 million containers stacked high with wooden pallets are shipped to the U.S. And forest ecologist Gary Lovett says inspectors can't possibly ensure all of those are clean.
You can imagine they're looking for a bug inside a board in a pallet. In the bottom of a shipping container in a ship.
All it takes is a few bad pallets. So Lovett argues for ditching wood and replacing them with other materials, like recycled plastic. Right now, according to some studies, invasive pests are costing the U.S. economy close to $5 billion a year. Trees don't just die in forests. They're in cities and our yards.
Most of the cost is being borne by homeowners and by local governments, municipalities.
And you see the yellow dots, well, all the dots, of course, are ash trees. The red ones are...
Mark Nelson shows me a map of the ash trees owned by the city of nearby Poughkeepsie, New York. He's the city administrator here. The map has 300 color-coded dots. Red and yellow ones mean another foreign pest, the emerald ash borer, has found a new home.
It's safe to say that of the city-owned trees, 90% are infected.
Take them down, or eventually they die and fall. You can imagine the horror story lawsuits there. So the city recently took down 50 ash trees. The cost, $82,000. That might not sound like much, but for a small city with a big deficit, Nelson says it's a lot. Trees also improve property values, air quality, and provide shade. They matter a lot to a city. And multiply Poughkeepsie's problem across thousands of communities like it?
Can municipalities fight this fight? And the answer is clearly no.
Because by the time a pest is already here...
It's kind of too late. We dump a lot of resources in trying to control things that should have been prevented in the first place.
Kerry Van Camp manages nearby Vassar College's 500-acre ecological preserve.
I'm glad I put on these boots.
Yeah.
We go on the muddiest, goopiest hike of my life and eventually get to a strand of dying ash trees. Van Camp is experimenting with breeding more pest-resistant trees as well as biocontrols, like importing a wasp native to Asia.
It's a stingless wasp, so you don't have to worry. It lays its egg inside the emerald ash borer egg, and the larva of the wasp essentially eats inside of the eggs.
Amazing. A couple of problems, though. The wasp is only partly effective, and releasing foreign wasps on a large scale would be too expensive, and it could raise new problems. So eventually, many of the ash trees will die and new species will take their place. Van Camp says there's nothing wrong with change. Plant and tree species have always migrated, and humans have helped with that, intentionally or not. Problem is, today, we're moving things at an alarming rate.
Someone described it to me once as like a snow globe. All the species are the little flakes in that, and humans have most recently just shook it up, and all that snow is flying, and species are landing all over the place, and it's creating these kind of interactions that we don't know what the response is going to be.
And the whole ecosystem here, the animals, the birds, the fish, the soil, it's built around native trees. Back by the stream in Millbrook, Gary Lovett says the only way to protect our forest and urban canopies is for politicians to get tough, to prevent pests from arriving here in the first place.
I'm not much of a politician, but, you know, this is a situation where we're getting a raw deal on trade. Our trading partners are not only, we have a balance of payments problem, but they're also sending us nasty bugs along with it.
That's a trade deficit he'd love to hear talked about in Washington. For The World, Jason Margolis, Millbrook, New York.